chapter 5. We're going to begin in just a moment in verse 11 and just look at those last four verses in this chapter. Hebrews chapter 5. How many of you are planning on going out for lunch today? Going out for lunch? Okay, I'll try and be brief. Amen. No. They say that this is one of the largest crowds on Mother's Day for people to go out to eat lunch, and know that you're going to enjoy your meal. How many of you, when you get to the restaurant, you're going to tell the waitress, all I want, waitress or waiter, all I want for a meal is a nice big jug of milk. Just bring me a big jug of milk, that'll be enough. Anybody planning on doing that? What's wrong with milk? Got to be something better than milk, amen? Think about that as we read this passage. Let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. We're going to read Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. Let me go ahead and read out loud as you follow along silently. The Bible says in Hebrews 5:11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, without you, we know we can do absolutely nothing. But Lord, we have the Word of God before us, and we have principles here and teachings that if we would listen to them and if we would apply them, they can be of great value to us and make us of great value to you. Lord, this morning, help us to be honest with ourselves and ask the question, are we able to consume the meat of the Word of God? Or are we still babes that simply can consume the milk? Lord, I pray that if we should be of age, as the passage says, and if we should be teachers, and if we should be able to consume the meat, that you would convict us to take the steps necessary, and Lord, that you would give us the wisdom and the strength to do so, so that we too could become the teachers that we ought to be, and that we could be able to discern the deep things of the Word of God. I pray that you'd bless folks here today that are visiting with us, be an encouragement to them. I pray if there's one here that does not know Christ as their Savior, that today would be the day of their salvation. I pray you'd be with those that are away from us due to illness or travel and bring them back safely. And I pray that you'd be with those others that are away from us and bring them back as well. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. As I read this passage, a couple of verses come to my mind. One of them is in Corinthians, and I had taught on this in Mexico a few weeks ago. It's the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it's the power of God. There are many things in the Bible that we only are able to discern and understand and use if we're a born-again Christian. A person who has not yet received Christ is going to find much of the Bible mysterious and difficult, if not impossible, to understand. And then another verse that comes to my mind is the statement that Paul made to Timothy. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I know that we all, if you have proceeded to complete your education, perhaps extend it into some specialty field, you know the meaning of the word study. Just recently, to get my learner's permit for the CDL, I had to study and learn some things and pass a test and have to do that again coming up pretty quick. We know what the word study means. It's not something that's easy, but it's something that we know how to do. The application of this passage is very, very simple. Paul, writing to the Hebrews throughout the entire book, is trying to encourage them not to quit, not to go back, not to turn away from following the Lord Jesus Christ, and not to go back to the old religious ceremonies that they used to participate in, particularly since they were being persecuted because of their faith. And he said to them, if you turn back, there are going to be some severe consequences. And he has been teaching them some things about the Lord Jesus Christ in these first five chapters. And in chapter 5, we looked at this last week, he began to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ as our high priest. And he refers back to a man in the book of Exodus called Melchizedek and explains why the Lord Jesus Christ is a priest after his order, not after the order of Aaron, who was the priest there in Israel, and the Levites, or the tribe that he came from. And the Lord Jesus Christ did not come from the tribe of Levi. He came from the tribe of Judah. So there's a difference in his priesthood. And we could get into more detail here, but as Paul comes to this point in verse 10, he pauses and he says something to them. He says, you know, I really can't go any further into this subject. I cannot get into the deep things. I cannot get into the things that are more substantial because you don't understand. Because you won't be able to use them. We have ladies here today with children, and we all, those of us that have raised children, we understand that when that baby comes home from the hospital, it's too soon to feed him a hamburger. In fact, you don't even try, because all you're going to have is a big mess on your hands and a choking baby. Babies drink milk. But then as they get older, that day comes when they can have some cereal. And I forgot what the age is. You'll know that better than I do. And then eventually they start to get teeth and they can chew on things. And then they get to be big like Brother Gonzalez, and they eat meat all the time. Amen? And Brother Gonzalez is not going to have a gallon of milk for lunch today. I'm very sure of that. And those of us that are adults aren't either, because we have learned how to enjoy and how to consume a more substantial food. Paul uses that illustration with these people in the book of Hebrews to tell them it's time for them to grow up. It's time for them to understand some things that they didn't understand before. And he says it in a way that makes it clear they have not done that. They have not grown up. They cannot understand the deep things of the Word of God. I would encourage you today, how many of you have been saved for more than 10 years? Raise your hand. Amen. Quite a few of us. Amen. How many more than 20 years? Amen. If I knew somebody that was 20 years old that only still drank milk, I'd be worried about them, wouldn't you? You'd think by now, surely they would have gone on to the more enjoyable food and to the food that's more substantial. And likewise, when we become Christians, as we receive Christ as our Savior, for some of us it's been a long time ago. For me, going on 50 years since I got saved, and for me to remember back to those days when I received Christ as my Savior is pretty hard for me to do. But as the years went along, I remember I went for a spell not going to church, shame on me. Not taking the Word of God in, not growing in the Lord, and then finally God got me straightened out when I was in my 20s and got me in a good church. And I can still remember that pastor, when we first went to that church, he had just started preaching through the book of Romans. And I sat there, seemingly, although I had been saved for over a decade, I sat there kind of like a little child thinking, wow, this is good. And I was enjoying the Word of God as it was presented to me. And over the course of the years, attending a good Bible-preaching church that didn't just use the Bible as a distraction, but made it the center of attention, I learned a lot of things about the Word of God in Sunday school, in church, and then in Bible Institute. We had a Bible Institute that met on Monday nights for 3 hours, and continually taking things in, This morning in my Sunday school class, I was teaching a couple of folks in there about the minor prophets and what do you do with these? Why are they here? What application do they have for us in our lives today? And folks, this book written by God is full of good meat. It is full of things that will help you to grow and that will make you a Christian that won't go back. That's the whole point here. You can see the connection. The Hebrews were thinking, this is too hard. We're being persecuted. If we would just go back to the temple and accommodate those people that think that that priest can do something about their sins or that those ordinances are going to save them somehow, if we can just go back to that, then they'll quit persecuting us and they'll quit ostracizing us and setting us aside and we can have more friends and we can have a better life. And folks, there is no better life outside of Christ. And there is certainly no satisfaction in turning your back on Christ to go back to the things that couldn't save you before. Aren't you glad? I hope when you come to church, I hope you never lose sight of the fact when you come to church that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, rose again the third day. We are not saved by the ministrations of some priest. We are not saved by keeping God's law. We ought to obey God. We ought to strive for righteousness, but that does not pay for our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ shed His blood to pay for our sins. And there's nothing to go back to. There's no walking away from the blood of Christ. Now here's the connection. These people that were thinking about walking away, they were the ones that didn't have the ability to understand the deep things in the Word of God. When's the last time you had to sit down and talk to somebody who was trained in a false religion, maybe Catholicism, maybe one of the cults like the Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses, or maybe just one of the misleading denominations like the Reformed theologians and the folks that believe that God's done with Israel, or maybe you've had to talk to someone who's a Calvinist, or maybe someone who's Arminian and thinks you can lose your salvation, or maybe someone that thinks baptism can save you. When's the last time you sat down with someone like that and had to open the Word of God and prove to them from the Word of God what was truth and what was not truth? When's the last time you did that? Have you ever done that? Could you do that? Should you be able to do that? Amen? I remember when I was in Salt Lake City and I'd just gotten involved in the church there, and they had a visitation program on Thursday nights at 7 o'clock every Thursday night. The people of that church would meet, and we would go out and we would visit people. We'd do follow-up visits. We'd go door to door, various things of that nature, because, folks, the Lord gave us the gospel to spread, not just to keep to ourselves. And I went out one night with a fellow. His name was Earl Cruz. He's with the Lord now, a fine Christian man, great heart, knew the Word of God really well. And we went to visit a man. I can still see the front yard in my mind. It was dusk, so it must have been probably summertime because it wasn't too cold. We were standing out in this fellow's yard, and this fellow had grown up. He had served in World War II, I believe, or Korea, one or the other, and was a Mormon. And he was trying to explain to us why the Mormons are right and the Bible is wrong. He didn't say it that way, but that's what he meant. And as he began to explain these things, Earl Cruz would say, well, the Bible says, well, the Bible says, well, the Bible says. And I was sitting there and I had just started going on visitation and I did not really know what to say except I knew one thing. I need to go home and study. I need to know my Bible, amen? Can you answer people's questions from the Bible? Can you? I hope you. If you can't, then praise God, two or three things. Number one, we can help you find out how. Number two, keep on coming to church. It wouldn't hurt to take some notes. And number three, do some studying like Paul told Timothy. Get in your Bible every day. Write these verses down. Memorize the Word of God. Get to know it a little bit better. Let me show you just a couple of things about these people here. And these might perhaps apply to us as well in Hebrews chapter 5. He says two or three things about them. He says in verse 12, he says, ye ought to be teachers. Now, you understand that when you have someone who can teach, you cannot teach something that you don't know how to do. They asked me one time to teach some young people how to ski. I could barely ski myself. And I didn't have any idea how to teach somebody else how to ski, but I did remember one thing. When they taught me, I knew what they had done. And if you had been there to see my skiing class, you would have gotten a good laugh out of it that day. We were all in on the ground a whole lot. And at the end of the day, some of them did ski a little bit, in spite of me perhaps. But I found out something. I'm not a very good instructor about skiing because I'm not that good of a skier. If you're going to teach, you need to know the subject matter, don't you? Folks, they ought to be teachers, he says, but they're not. He says in verse 13, he says, "Ye have need that one teach you again." Now watch this phrase, I'll explain it to you. "Which be the first principles of the oracles of God." When you see that phrase, oracles of God, just think about the Bible. All right, particularly the Old Testament, but the Bible. And he says to them, he says, you know, you ought to be teachers, but you need to be taught the first principles. In other words, there are some basics that you need to know. I found that by going to church, I learned some things. By going to Sunday school, I learned some things. But even then, after years and years of that, when I came to Bible Institute, I understood, you know, there's a lot of things I don't know. There was some basic information I needed to be taught. And that's why we spend so much time teaching the Bible. I needed to learn some things. And then he says this. He says in verse 14, he says, "Strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age." Watch this. "Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And I like that phrase, reason of use. Let me ask you a question. How often do you use your Bible? Say, "Pastor, it is great. It's a nice decoration on my coffee table." That's not the right way to use the Bible, amen? Say, "Pastor, it's great. I keep my stuff in it." I do too, but that's not what it's here for. It just happens to be that way. Every pastor's Bible is a file cabinet. You knew that, right? And probably got something in here, all sorts of good things. But no, this is the way you use the Bible. Folks, let me just back up a step. This is the Word of God. If you want to know what God said, there's nowhere else to find it but right here. If you want to know what God wants, what God is pleased with, what God is displeased with, if you want to know what God has promised you, if you want to know whether or not you should do certain things, it's all right here in the Word of God. And it's very, very clear. In fact, think, put two and two together here. If these people in the book of Hebrews that were thinking about going back and they were going to go back to their old ways, if they would have read their Bible, they would have understood something. Those old ways had been replaced by the Lord Jesus Christ. You have friends, perhaps, that attend a church like the Catholic Church or something like that, and they have the idea that they can be saved by going to that church. If they'd read their Bible, they'd find out churches don't save people. If they'd read their Bible, they'd find out baptism doesn't save people. So, "Pastor, why do people believe that?" Because they don't know what the Bible says. "Pastor, why do people do the things that they do?" Because they're not reading their Bible, they're getting it from somewhere else. If you want to know how to use your Bible, use it to guide your life. Use it to find out what's true and what's not. Use it to be encouraged. When I read my Bible this morning, I was reading in Colossians, I am encouraged. Folks, Christ died for my sins. He died for yours too, by the way. And if you're saved, you have a home in heaven that nothing or nobody can take away from you. That's encouraging to me. And I find things in the Bible that I cannot find anywhere else because this is the Word of God. As Paul writes to these folks, he says, "You are deficient in some areas. You ought to be of full age. You ought to be using the Word of God. You should be skillful in it. You should have the ability to understand it." But look what their problem is back in verse 11. And this is interesting. He says, at the end of that verse, "Ye are dull of hearing." Now, we know what the word dull means. It can be applied a couple of ways. There's the idea of the dull knife. I've got some knives at my house, and they're dull. They don't cut very well. Need to sharpen that thing up. But dull in particular has the sense of not being capable, for example, a person who's dull is one that's not so swift, it's not so quick to understand. Maybe their thinking is a little bit slow or whatever. But he says in this case, their hearing is a little bit slow. You know what happens to us? We read the Word of God, and it speaks to us. And it tells us what we ought to do. And we ask ourselves the question, what's that going to cost me? If I, for example, the Bible says that I should be faithful to God's house. The Bible says not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. The Bible says a steward should be found faithful. And I ask myself, if I'm faithful, what's it going to cost me? Well, then I won't be able to spend certain times of the week the way I want to. I have to spend them the way God wants them spent. And we say to ourselves, I don't know if I want to pay that price or not. Wednesday night comes, and I'd like to spend Wednesday night doing what I want to do, when the truth of the matter is I should assemble and pray with my church. I don't want to pay that price, and so I really don't want to hear that. Maybe there's something else in here that would be more encouraging to me than that. And we become dull of hearing. Folks, if you read the Bible and you refuse to do what the Bible says, it's not going to be an easy book to understand. You need to take those steps of obedience and let the Lord change you as you decide to obey Him. And then, you may or may not believe this, but I'll say it anyway. When we obey God, that's always what's best for us. Amen? When I obey God, it's always what's best for me. Let me see if I can tie this all together for you kind of quick. I want to get you out of here in time for lunch. And let me show you a couple of things. Just real quick. They had dull hearing. They were not familiar with the basics in verse 12. Those first principles, they needed to have those taught again. They were not skillful in the Word of God in verse 13. They had not used it enough to become good at it. How many of you here can juggle? Anybody here can juggle? I've tried and tried and tried. I just don't have the whatever. But I'm convinced if I spent enough time, I probably could get it going. My wife, by the way, she didn't feel well today. Pray for her. She's homesick. But my wife, she's a great juggler. She can just go juggle hour after hour and not drop those balls or whatever it is. But you don't get that way just by doing it one time, do you? Now look, you're living your life. You're going to get up every morning and you're going to go through that day and you're going to either take the Word of God with you or not. You're either going to read it that day or not. You're either going to apply it that day or not. And then here's what you find out. When you open the Word of God and you apply it, it teaches you how to be that much better at it. And as time goes on, the Word of God becomes such a part of you that it is inescapable. And the little things in the Word of God become very valuable to you and very useful to you. But if you don't use it, then as they say, you lose it. If you set it aside and you don't allow it to guide you and change you, then over the course of time, you don't have that skill anymore. The good news is it's not too late to get it back if you've lost it, so to speak, and it's not too late to get it if you never have had it, but you're going to have to make a decision to spend time in the Word of God. Amen? And you're going to make a decision. There's nothing wrong, for example, with asking the challenging questions and finding the answers in the Bible, asking the things that are difficult, and if you don't find the answer, there are some people here that do this, by the way, and you're all welcome to. I have a cell phone. I receive text messages, and typically in a given week, I get text messages from at least 8 or 10 different church members, and sometimes they're Bible questions. Pastor, what about this? I love that. I'd be glad to help you with that. Brother Aaron he kept me going half a day one time trying to find answers for his questions. That's okay. That's why I'm here. Amen? Paul should have had a cell phone. That would have been great. But if you want to know the answers, you have people you can ask. There are other people here that you could ask as well, by the way, that have also developed a skill with the Word of God over the course of time. So let's just look at the end of this real quick and we'll be done. He says in verse 13, he says, everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern, that means to know, both good and evil. They know what's right. They know what's wrong. They have found it in the Word of God. Now, let me just use an illustration to close this up and we'll be done. I asked you at the beginning of the message if you'd like to have a big carton or a big container of milk for lunch. None of us would be satisfied with that. I like milk. I'll drink milk. But I want something better. I want something tastier. I want something more satisfying. I want something that has some substance to it. Now watch me. If you're still a Christian that is limited to milk as far as the Word of God is concerned, if you have a milk diet, you're going to have a milk life. If you have a milk diet, you're going to have a milk life. We don't take a six-month-old and put him behind a lawnmower and ask him to mow the yard. Not going to happen. We don't take a six-month-old and put him in the kitchen and tell him to wash the dishes or cook dinner. They can't do that. They're young. They're babes. If you're still on a milk diet, you're going to have a milk life. And folks, God needs some good meat-eating Christians to serve him. Amen? A church is supposed to be, Paul told Timothy, the pillar and ground of the truth. Had a friend that went out to the mission field and he started a church in a foreign country. And he did it the right way. He went there. There was nobody. He began to evangelize and get people saved. And as people got saved, they came to the church. And he began to teach them the Bible. Same thing that we do. They had Sunday school. They even had a Bible Institute in this foreign mission field. And as he taught those people the Bible, over the course of the years, they learned what the Bible said. They learned how to discern the truth out of the Word of God. It cost them something. It cost them some time. It cost them some Sundays and some Wednesdays and some weekday nights and some faithfulness. It cost them some times to have devotions. And over the course of time, those people became familiar with what the Word of God says. And then they chartered the church, which means the church officially became a church. Because the reason or the time that you charter a church is when that church is able to be the pillar and ground of the truth. In other words, that church has the ability to stand up and say, we know true doctrine and we can show you where it's at in the Bible. God needs some Christians that are meat eaters, that are grown, that have discernment, that cannot just be taught, but that can teach, that cannot just be fed, so to speak, but that can feed others. And folks, our church needs that as well. We need to be feeding others. We need to be winning others to the Lord and discipling them. And that's when a church can grow. I don't get surprised when a little baby cannot do too much because a little baby needs to grow some more. I would be surprised if at the age of 15, the child still can't eat solid food and still can't do the things that a grown-up ought to be able to do. If you have a milk diet, you're going to have a milk life. Is that the kind of life you want to present to God someday? And here's the danger. These people were thinking about quitting. These people were thinking about going back. They had such little discernment, they didn't even understand how horrifying it was to think about walking away from Christ. I would ask you, as a church, make the Bible useful to yourselves. Use it so that you, as you grow in it, can teach others. Amen? So that you can be consuming the deep things in the Word of God. There's a whole lot here. There's more here than you can consume in a lifetime. And if you'll take and make that your goal, Lord, make me a student of the Bible like Timothy was. Lord, I want to be an improved workman. I want to rightly divide the word of truth. I don't want to be a milk Christian. I want to be a meat Christian. If you'll set that as your goal, I'd be glad, I'd be honored to help you. I'd come to your house and teach you if you like, or we can have Bible Institute here. Certainly, we already have Sunday school, and we have church, and we have other opportunities to learn. I just want you to know it all starts and it all concludes right here. This is our food. Amen? Make sure that it's not just the milk that you can take. Make sure that you become that Christian that can eat the meat as well. Let's all stand and pray.